That was Nick Wright the other day, I think with Colin Cowherd on a podcast.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Why not?
They didn't want that one on TV,
yeah,
I guess.
Save that one maybe for the podcast, the three-point dunks.
I'm going to be honest. I don't hate it, but I acknowledge it's an out-there take.
Yeah, you're going to, like, there's a lot of different changes to sports that immediately get rejected because you're just so used to watching it one way.
Yep.
And then you're like, well, I guess, like, maybe this will help because I do think close to 50-50 maybe of NBA fans really don't like all the threes. I think, and maybe it's because they watched it in a different way and they like the more of the well-rounded game.
I think Nick Wright makes two really good points there. Number one, all games look the same.
So that, I think, is his best point. That is different because I disagree with him on people only watch the NBA to see guys fly, because when the Splash Brothers first got going, they were must-see TV.
But it was different.
That's what I'm saying.
But
it was threes.
It was threes,
Curry,
but it was
Thompson,
also different. Yeah.
Curry shoot, and that, again, not to get everybody down this path, but the reason why Caitlin Clark is so fun to watch is because she basically is kind of like Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
And so the WNBA or women's college basketball hadn't really seen that.
No, it's a lot.
That's why I think she's popular. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's a lot of layups. But her hitting
but her
those threes is
taking
different.
Taking like logo threes, yes. I think is fun. That's what Steph Curry was doing. That's what like Damian Lillard would do. But now you're like, oh, Trae Young does it. Oh, actually, now all these other teams feel like that's the best shot for them on a possession. So that's where I agree with them. People were fine, I think, with threes, but not when 30 teams are doing it.
Okay.
And now that's what you have.
Those guys also are not athletic. You know, like Klay Thompson, in the NBA world, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry are not absurd athletes. I don't need Anthony Edwards. He makes a good point about Anthony Edwards. I don't need Anthony Edwards standing out by the three-point line. I want him attacking the rim. I don't need Ja Morant saying he won't dunk, although, as we said earlier...
Yeah, he can say that.
Ja Morant double-clutch reverse dunked on Porzingis' head the day after he said that.
Uh-huh.
And to localize it, I don't need Jaylen Brown launching a million threes. I want Jaylen Brown attacking the rim. And so, you know, if you're telling me Sam Hauser is going to launch threes, fine. If you're telling me Klay Thompson is going to stand out there, you know, no athleticism, and he's a brilliant shooter, fine. I'm not saying there can't be any of those guys in the league. But when everybody, including the best athletes in the sport, play that way, that is a problem. And it doesn't mean it's not the best way to win. This is Terp's point, and he's right. Terp's point is the best way to win in the NBA is the three-point margins. And
seems like that's correct.
That's probably true.
It's playing out that way.
But is it fun to watch? Is three-outcome baseball the best way to win? It might be. Is it fun to watch? And the NBA is a much, much, much younger base, much younger, more youthful viewers than baseball. Baseball has completely aged out. The NBA doesn't have that problem, but I think the watchability problems are similar, and the NBA wants to get in front of that, I would hope.
I do think young fans still love basketball. I know everybody's pointing to the ratings, and that's why a lot of people are also pointing out how it's consumed. I don't know how many young kids, not to sound like the super old guy, but anytime you start a sentence with, I don't know what the kids are doing.
Yeah, but we are getting to be
old-ish. Yeah, we're definitely old-ish. So how many kids today that love basketball sit down and watch it for 2.5 hours versus I'll check the highlights, I'll see what Tatum's doing after the fact.
This is what I was just going to add. You're saying even the Celtics, not even just neutral site games, the Celtics.
I think there's probably some of that. Like, hey, maybe you get tickets once a year and you go to the game, great, you're going to go to the game, you're going to love it, you're going to have a blast. But then on the week-to-week, how people consume content now is just so different. I mean, they're just so used to seeing reels on Instagram or TikToks or whatever else. So they're like, I'll take that and I'll watch my NBA highlights that way. So they still know the league. They know the players. But I don't know how many are watching it the full go, let alone, hey, you're in the house and you're like making sure your parents say, hey, I need that game on TV for the whole night. Like, no, I'll be on my phone. I'll watch the game a little bit. I'll jump over to this, jump back to it. I think that's impacted it, especially because there are so many games. Maybe that's the main difference between that and the NFL. The NFL is still appointment.
Yep.
I got to watch it
once
a week, even if my team blows.
Even though they're trying to oversaturate it by going to 17 games and expanding the playoffs, and soon it'll be 18, 19, 20 with internationals. Even though they're trying to oversaturate it is still very watchable,
like gambling,
digestible.
And fantasy, all that stuff. It's just so much easier than like in the NBA. Like, you can't bet on every NBA game and survive.
So,
like you would be, if you're like me anyway, you'd be way under.
So do you agree the NBA has become... Forget the three-point dunk. Do you agree the NBA has become too three-point heavy?
Yeah.
Not the Celtics necessarily, but the league.
Yeah.
Okay, me too.
Yep.
So how do you fix it? The three-point dunk is interesting because you're not changing anything about the three-point line. You're just emphasizing something else, but that's an out-there plan. Would you move back the three-point line? Would you, I heard Mego talk about this a week or so ago, would you, and I had not heard this as a theory, eliminate the corner three?
Yeah, that one's tough. I mean, but I'm open to anything. I'll experiment with anything. I think moving it back might eliminate, and maybe not this guy specifically because he's actually turned into a good three-point shooter, but like when Al Horford's of the world realized, hey, I got to shoot threes to stay in the league, like the big guys are like, I got to all take threes. That really changed. And if you back it up where it's really like Damian Lillard, Steph Curry range, and other guys have to sort of add that, maybe it'll be a little less likely because maybe 38, 40% from three goes down. And then now coaches have to say, well, wait a minute. Now these guys are shooting 30% from three.
It's a good point. Should Al Horford be a three-point shooter? He can do it.
He knows that he has to be stay in the league.
But I'm saying, but is that best for the sport?
Oh, right. I think that was sort of a turning point.
Five-out offense.
Yeah.
Everybody's standing around the three-point line. Is that how the game should be played?
Yeah.
Or should these seven-footers, and there are specific exceptions to the rule, but these seven-footers, should they be using a different skill set, or should everybody have the same skill set and all stand around the three-point line?
Like, well, that's
a fundamental discussion. And Horford, again, to localize it, is a great example.
But that also then speaks to just the freak athletes that are playing the sport now.
Yeah.
Where, like, Kevin Durant and Victor Wembanyama and Porzingis, it's like normally a seven-footer wouldn't shoot threes. Like, the way we watch basketball, seven-footers stay in the basket. They're like, well, they can all dribble like point guards now, so they're going to play the all-around game, and then they're just going to shoot more threes. Plus, it is less wear and tear on the body. You know, the way guys like Shaquille O'Neal got their 30 points versus the way Curry gets his 30 is very different.
This is why Morant said he was going to stop dunking,
yeah, right.
Which, again, he's not doing. But that's what he said, because he's going in, attacking the rim, he's hitting the deck hard, and it's less wear and tear on your body to shoot jump shots.
Mm-hmm.
It's also less entertaining. So how do you balance that? Is it impacting the ratings?
But it's funny. We had a caller earlier mention how at what point were people like really, really happy with the product? Because like the 90s, for example, I think it might also come in like what age you were, right? It's the way people talk about Saturday Night Live. Like Saturday Night Live, you're like, oh, it sucks. It's like, what was your favorite year? Oh, when you were in eighth grade? Of course it was. But I think when you look at like 90s basketball, like those Knicks Heat games, if you showed somebody those games now,
they were brutal.
It was insane. But those were like the best teams in the league, and they would just hack each other to death.
So here's how
they didn't shoot a lot of threes.
No,
but they fouled each other a lot.
Here's how I'd say it: the skill level has never been higher in the sport.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I mean, you can talk about the '80s, and maybe you like the '80s, but the skill level is so much higher now than then. It's not funny. Okay, so I would say it that way, but they didn't have a ratings problem in the '80s. The thing was a ratings juggernaut.
Yeah, they saved it. The decades prior to were the issue.
Even LeBron and Curry, when the Warriors were a dynasty and LeBron was going to the finals every year and going toe-to-toe with Curry, they did not have a ratings problem. They now have a ratings problem. So you can say we'd complain about it, but I'm sure the league felt good about the product. Do you think the league feels good about this product based on where the ratings are going? I don't.
Well, no, they're trying to. I mean, they probably feel pretty good based on the TV
contracts.
Yeah. I think they feel good about that part of it. But they're in a situation where, and Adam Silver didn't like dismiss it. Like, to his credit, he's like, we hear the criticisms of the 3-point shot. Like, we're looking into it. I don't know if there's going to be any immediate change, but he has tried to make tweaks. We talked about it earlier. Like, he's tried to make sure players aren't sitting out games on prime time to really emphasize those games so people will watch them. You and I disagree on the NBA Cup, but that was clearly with the intent of making regular season games matter more.
And early regular season games
and get people on board there. There is something of a passing of the torch situation, too, where LeBron, Durant, and Curry were the guys, for the most part, every year for so many years. Now, where are you going? Is Jokic, Doncic, and Tatum ready to take the league to the next level? None of those guys jump out at you as these like huge personalities.
Terp made this point. This is why the league is pushing Edwards.
And they should, and he's really good.
Tatum has no personality.
Yeah.
Like none.
No.
And, you know, some of these other young, right, is Jokic or Doncic, are they big personalities? No. So maybe that is why they're pushing Anthony Edwards. But you make a good point about we're still getting the superstars of old shoved down our throats. Maybe the younger ones aren't as marketable. In Tatum's case, it's because he has no personality. In
Jokic doesn't want it.
Well,
he's like Mike Trout. He's like, I don't care.
You made a point, too, about the league has become international.
Yeah, a lot of non-American guys at the top of the league.
And whether or not that should be the case, we can debate. Is that right or wrong? It's probably not right. But it just seems like it's harder for fans in the United States to identify with, as you said, a guy from Serbia in Denver. That's not L.A.
Yeah. No, like the two
that's
biggest
not
stars,
New York.
Maybe.
That's not Boston.
Yeah, you have a Serbian guy playing in Denver. You have a Greek guy playing in Milwaukee. And again, it's the NBA. Like, you can have stars anywhere. Okay. You can. I mean, LeBron was in Cleveland
but
for a long time.
It works best in big markets.
Yeah, why did Shaq go to L.A.? Like, if Shaq left Orlando for a reason, and, you know, that's sort of telling.
So
I agree with people texting in, too. Like, you're right. There's more things to watch. It's one of those things, because it's not football, and it's not, you know, your team plays once a week. They're competing against a million things. So some other years where the NBA had better ratings, there were four channels or whatever.
Yeah,
there wasn't as much stuff to watch.
But the NBA, I'm sorry, the NFL, rather, has been king for 20 years. In the country?
Oh, yeah.
Longer
than
that?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a recent dip in their ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people have, I mean, there's been all kinds of fragmented ways of watching television and consuming media, and this is a more recent drop. So I personally don't buy that. I understand it's all going down, but it feels like the NBA is dropping off more than it should. So I think there are a lot of problems. Like, streaming is an issue that the NBA can't really deal with. Stars aging out and more foreign superstars, those are things they can't really control, but the style of play they can control. And they've altered that in the past. Hand checking, removing it from the game,
mm-hmm.
you know, adding the 3-point line way back when. There are ways to tweak that. I mean, they eliminated the dunk, for God's sakes, for a while. So, like, there's a history of tweaking gameplay, and I think that's something they should look at. A lot of you waiting patiently on how to fix the NBA. We're fixing a lot of stuff today, Keith.
That's all we're doing.
We're problem solvers, is what we are. Dan is in the car. Go ahead, Dan.
Dan. You got to fix these phones.
Okay.
We got to fix.
Dan, back on
Dan hold. Not ready.
Our guy Johnny in Brooklyn's always ready. Go ahead, Johnny.
Johnny.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. So, you know, I'm listening to you talk about the sort of this NBA issue, and I've been watching some 2008 Celtics, and one thing that we don't really see is, like, the Kevin Garnett-type post moves that were really kind of fun to watch, and that's basically not in the league anymore. I don't know how to fix it. You guys are the geniuses. I'll take your thoughts on how to fix it. But at some point, I do want to know which team you think would win in a 7-game series between the 2008 Celtics and the Celtics we have today. Maybe it's a question for another day, but it's something I want to get your thoughts on.
Well,
thanks,
Johnny, I answered this last year about the team last year. I thought last year's team would beat the 08 Celtics.
Yeah.
You look hesitant.
No, I think I would go with this team now as well.
So last year, well, I'm saying last year's team
or
that
whatever,
won it.
Same one, yeah.
And then this year's team, I feel like, is even a half step better.
Yeah.
And so I'd take this team over 08.
It pains me because, you know, I love Paul Pierce. I'm a huge Paul Pierce fan. And so Pierce was All-NBA third team that year. Garnett was All-NBA first team and defensive player of the year. And they were a defensive team. They averaged probably 20 fewer points, but they also gave up like 30 fewer points or whatever. Like, they were a defensive team. But if you're just doing the head-to-heads, I mean, I'd rather have Drew Holiday than Rondo. And Rondo was good, but he actually got better. Like, the 08 team, he wasn't as good as he ended up being. Like Porzingis or Perk? Like, come on. You know what I mean? And Tatum's first team All-NBA MVP candidate. Jalen Brown's, yeah, I know he wasn't last year, but 2 years ago, he was second team All-NBA. The bench is a little bit better. So I'd probably go with, and the coach is better.
Yes. For, sure. Like,
so
for
I would,
sure.
I would go with this team.
I hadn't even thought about that one, but for sure.
Yeah.
His first point, though, you make a great point about Horford. That's not what 7-footers should be doing. Not all of them. I mean, there are special exceptions always to the rule, right? But that's not the game Horford should be playing.
Post moves are gone. Like, he's right about that. There was a time where...
So how do you do it?
Even going way back, Kevin McHale? People love... Kevin McHale never did the same move twice.
You still hear about it.
Then you have Hakeem Olajuwon?
Yep.
Oh, man, good luck trying to guard Hakeem down there.
No one had post moves like McHale. Well,
how
about Hakeem?
Does anybody do post moves anymore?
No, because they're not incentivized to do it. They're incentivized to go pop threes and stand five out on offense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great point. And how do you do it? How do you get post moves back in the game? Three-point dunk would be one way.
Three-point dunk.
Or you know, again, you move back the three-point line where Horford can't do it. He can't hit 25-footers. Or you move, you take away the corner three where big men tend to camp out.
Did you like a skyhook? Were you a big skyhook guy?
The skyhook annoyed me a little bit.
I didn't love the skyhook.
Yeah, I didn't either, but that might have been...
Shoot the ball normal.
That might have specifically been, you know, a Celtics...
Shoot it or dunk it. Don't skyhook it.
A Celtics lament.
Yeah,
Richard is in Fairhaven. Go ahead, Richard.
What's going on, guys? How you all doing?
Good.
Honestly, I think it comes down to basics with this one, where like the NBA, MLB, they're having a hard time with ratings. I think it comes down to a scheduling issue. I think 82 games, and especially with baseball, well, 162 games, I think they need to look at cutting these things back, because, and then maybe extending the playoffs instead of having these long, drawn out, like, you have 3 games a week in the NBA. You have 6 games a week to 7 games a week in the MLB. It's hard to keep tabs with these guys.
Okay, it is. So this is one where it's like, should they make the season shorter? Absolutely.
Yeah. They're not. I mean, it's a money thing because they got to fill up these stadiums.
Right.
They got to.
So
the TV contracts are so big because they do have these every single night or so close to it.
At least he has a solution to replace the inventory for most of the league by expanding the playoffs, but some teams are going to lose out. That's going to hurt your television contracts.
The NFL is adding games. I don't think anybody's going to start subtracting games.
No. So would that work and would that be a good fix? Yes. But I'm willing to live in fantasy land with a lot of 3-point dunks and things like that.
Yeah.
I'm willing to live in fantasy land. That's one that I can't go there
because
the owners would never, ever go. You'd be taking money out of everyone's pocket.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it comes down to. Because if you were saying, hey, we're going to have a rating of X over 50 regular season games, or a lower rating, but you have 82 games on your TV network. Like, we'll take the 82 games.
Yeah.
Right, with doubling our inventory or whatever you choose to take away. I don't know how low you would have to go to really see an impact. People are kind of in or they're out on this.
Yeah.
Like, if all of a sudden they were like,
baseball,
hey,
baseball, you could lose half the season and I wouldn't bat an eyelash.
People would still think it's long.
Well, true. That's true.
Like, it's
I'd be like, man,
this
game's
still a drag.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a long time.
Jack is in Beckett. Hello, Jack.
Hey, guys. So I actually have 2 ways to fix the game. One is to eliminate the pick play behind the 3-point line.
I'm sorry. When you say behind, hang on. When you say behind the no picks above the 3-point line,
you can't do like a pick and roll out there.
Out there.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And then the second way is to allow the game to be more physical. The way it used to be back in the 70s and 80s.
Okay, so that to me is a dangerous game. How about
check?
How about no picks outside the 3-point line?
No.
Why?
I don't know.
More physical, but you can't set picks.
Yeah, right. Like, so what if you're trying to like get a guy?
Good point by you.
No, like if you're trying to get somebody open, like you're not even necessarily trying to get a 3-point shot. You're just trying to get Tatum the ball at the end of the game or something.
You can only have picks inside the 3-point line.
Stop.
That or the 3-point dunk.
There are no bad ideas, but those were 2.
3-point
no,
dunk.
Kidding. I'm kidding.
3-point dunk or the golden at bat.
Oh, give me the golden at bat.
Golden at bat over 3-point
dunk. Golden at bat's a game. Well, they're both game changers, but the golden at bat, you're sticking around.
I think I want the 3-point dunk, but I don't hate the more we talked about golden bat. Golden
people
at bat,
are warming up
it.
To the 3-point dunk on the tech
good.
Line. People like it.
Good
golden at bat might be the greatest idea that's ever happened. You could hit twice in a row in the bottom of the ninth.
That's so good.
Or
your idea is right. Aaron Judge knocks
home run,
one out.
Pick up the bat. Home run to tie it. And you're like,
so
I'm
good.
Up again.
That's so good.
Just stands there.
No, that's my favorite. Like a 10-pitch at bat, the closer gets him, bases loaded, and he's like, tips his hat and gets back in.
He's like, do it again.
Start up, fresh count.
But you know
like,
what?
I just got this guy.
But
like,
you know what they're going to do. You know what they're going to do. It's going to be like Connor Wong is going to get like back-to-bat at bats.
Or they're going to say, they're going to put such caveats on it. It'll be like, you can't do it in the ninth inning, or you can't hit twice in a row, or you can't have like a ghost runner, or they're going to have some.
They're going to bastardize it.
They're going to screw up the golden bat.
But I'd take 3-point dunk. Apparently that was Andy Hart's idea. Now, we're giving Nick Wright all this credit, but Andy Hart
you got take snakes?
Yeah, apparently.
Hart got take snakes?
Oh, good job.
Fair enough.
One more. Tom's in New Hampshire. Hello, Tom.
Hey, guys. I don't mind. I mean, there's a skill shooting that 3-point shot. I don't know if you guys saw Kenny Smith and Stephen A. and those guys bricking up threes in that contest the other day.
Did they hold that? I knew they were going to.
I didn't know that. They had a 3-point contest?
I thought they were going to do a free throw contest is what I thought they
were. No, they started at 3-point and they went back to the 3-point. Even Shaq and Chuck were trying to throw them up. And it was just so ugly to even watch. I mean, they couldn't even hit the freaking rim.
Yeah, so Tom, I said this, the skill level is off the charts right now in the NBA. I'm not questioning that. It's not a skill problem.
Yeah.
They've almost gotten too good at it.
Well, it is a problem where like you don't have different like versions of a team. Like, oh, this is how they beat you, or this is how they beat you. They all just run
everybody
chuck threes.
Everybody just launches threes.
It's a mirror match.
Pretty much
a mirror match.
Everyone has the same offense.
Styles make fights, they say.
They do say that.
Same style. That team has the same style. Oh, yeah. They have the same style.
No fight. It's just who's making threes that night. That's it.
Yep.
617-779-7937. You can jump in with all your solutions, fixing the NBA, Your plans to fix the Patriots. We've taken a lot of those throughout the course of the
day. We sure did.
Wiggy even gave us one.
That was great.
I'll have more of that, I think, coming up in Clip du Jour. That's at the end of the show. We'll check in with WEEI Afternoon, see what they have coming up. Billy Lanny with all the latest and trending. And when we come back, it's time for Grab Bag.
I love playing two-hand touch, eating way too much, watching my team win with the
Grab Bag.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
Yes, it is time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI, and the stuff we couldn't get to the first 3.5 hours of the program, including late last night, the Boston Bruins got a game winner in overtime off the stick of one David Pastrnak as the Bees fought back from a 3-1 deficit to beat the Calgary Flames in overtime. They are now 2-2 on this 5-game road trip, Jones, which will wrap up tomorrow against Edmonton.
Okay, well, you just said it. They went from looking like they were flailing on this road trip,
which they were.
I mean, I don't think we're making that up. They got bombarded 8-1 and 5-1, so 13-2. To start this road trip. All of a sudden now you're splitting on the trip to this point in time. We'll see if they can solve that more. It does feel like Pastrnak's gotten going a little bit. He's scored in 3 of the last 4 games. He has, 11 points in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, in 8 games this month.
Yeah.
So, 5 in the last 2, right?
Yeah, so it feels like he's going a little bit, which is important. You're right, he had 4 points, a goal and 3 assists against Vancouver.
Turn the heat up a little bit.
So that's important for them. And okay, we were starting to question Sacco and how different things were. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, win this last game on the trip. Where are they going next? Edmonton? Maybe Edmonton. Get a point against Edmonton.
Maybe.
You've had a decent road trip, and now you're back in business. Okay, now you feel pretty good about it. So they've righted the ship, is what I would say.
Elias Lindholm with his first goal in, I think, 2 years.
Yeah,
so that was good to see.
He scored against former team Calgary.
Calgary.
As we're now referring to it. We'll talk to Razor tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Zadorov was getting booed early in the game last night. He's a former Flame.
Mm-hmm.
He was asked about it after the
game.
He's
terrible.
Like, he stinks.
He's awful.
He's been better. Nick said this. He's been better.
Last night, was it the first goal? He just fell asleep.
Yeah, no, he doesn't do much. He's been better in general, and last night specifically not good. But he was booed on his opening shift last night. He was asked after the game what he thinks of it, and he's like, well, last year when I came in with the Canucks, I was booed every time I touched the puck.
Okay.
And he's like, it's progress.
Okay, he's getting better.
Yeah.
It's beginning to look a lot like a grab bag. Every afternoon, Jones and Keefe will keep you entertained every midday with Keefe's Keys and Hot Patriots Takes Two.
Wow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Grab Bag, Grab Bag, Grab Bag this year.
Ah, how about that one?
Bravo.
That's none other than Twitch legend Radio Chick 81.
That's who that is?
Yeah.
Wow, great.
Yeah.
So I was actually going to ask when it started. Obviously, when you mentioned Jones and Keefe, I knew it was a new one, but I didn't know if that was like a throwback.
That was a
grab bag from a Christmas ago.
No, that is a brand
great
new
work,
one.
Radio Chick.
Brand new coming in. Some holiday themed ones.
Songbird of a generation.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
The New York baseball Yankees, Jones, traded for Cody Bellinger from the Cubs, who used to be good.
Yeah.
Not sure he is anymore.
No, but he's left-handed, right?
He is.
How many dingers is he going to suck in that?
36.
Little tuna can of a ballpark.
Probably will smack some dingers.
Yeah.
Because they obviously lost out on Juan Soto. They apparently were also looking at first base. He's been playing. He plays first and outfield, right?
Yeah.
But he was like the 2019
MVP.
MVP where he hit 47 homers.
Huh.
This past year, he hit 18.
You think he's a future MLB random player of the day, or you think he's too good? He's an MVP. He's probably too good.
I don't know. It was a long time ago. We're getting further and further away.
Yeah.
He won the MVP the last time Tom Brady played for the Patriots. So
it's a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
A lot has changed.
Mm.
Keith, better watch out. Jones, better not cry. Lanny, better not pout. We're telling you why. Santa Claus is getting grab bag.
What do you think of that?
I like it. Now, if I were Nick, I might have a gripe since
no
I was
Nick.
Not,
no Nick reference
there. But
just
no,
press for time. Maybe.
Great work, yeah.
Maybe press for time. Buda Baker. We just saw Buda Baker for the Arizona Cardinals. Just signed himself a new 3-year extension worth $54 million, 30 guaranteed, making it the third highest safety contract in NFL history.
Almost a part of the Jones Patriots plan.
Oh, yeah, I thought about it.
Now, I did think about it. This is before the news even came out for the contract.
Big extension.
Whatever. They got big. I'd rather have a corner than a safety, but I was thinking about him, and then he signed an extension, and it wouldn't have mattered anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Have yourself a merry little grab bag. Jones and Keefe middays. From now on, your grab bag will be miles away.
Some power in that voice.
That is incredible.
Wow.
How about some quarterback news? Adam Schefter tweeted this out because we talked earlier in the show about how Kirk Cousins benched, Michael Penix is in. So week 16 coming up. Browns are going from Jameis Winston to Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Apparently, he's going to get the start.
Gross. So that guy we gave fantasy advice to the other day, start Winston in your playoff matchup?
No, don't start Winston.
Don't do that.
The Giants are going from Tommy DeVito to Drew Locke. The Titans
Hang on. That's not a choice. DeVito's in concussion protocol,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's just putting a list of all these different guys.
Okay.
So Titans are expected to sit Will Levis for Mason Rudolph. He says there's a game time decision likely coming for Patrick Mahomes, so you could get Carson Wentz. The Raiders are holding out hope Aiden O'Connell could be back this week after starting Desmond Ridder on Monday night. And the Saints started Jake Haener this past Sunday, but Spencer Rattler finished the game and could be in prime position to take over this weekend. So that's like a quarter of the league might have a different quarterback.
Someone is reporting that, is it James Palmer? I think it's James Palmer is reporting that Mahomes is playing.
This Saturday?
I thought so. Hang on.
Right. He practiced in full yesterday.
The expectation is that Patrick Mahomes is going to try and give it a go.
Okay.
Will he be 100%? Absolutely not. But the belief now is that we'll see how the rest of the week plays out, and he's going to give it a go. So that was from James Palmer. I guess that's not a definitive report.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right about now, the funk soul.
Grab bag.
Also Radio Chick 81. That one. No, it's good. How about this? Is this the worst futures bet loss of all time?
Oh,
apparently this one just came down.
I tailed Shimon Anthony Richards MVP. Anthony Richardson MVP.
All right, that's a different kind of worst loss. Okay. I mean, you're this close to winning,
and then something
happens.
Got it.
So apparently, on some sites going into the year, David Montgomery's rushing over under total was 775.5.
No,
he finished the year injured 775. He needed one yard in three games.
And
to
his
hit
last game, I believe, was either 4 carries for 5 yards or 5 for 4 yards. Mm. Like, even in the game he got hurt.
Yeah, right.
He
wasn't very
good.
If
he just gave you another yard, you hit the yard. Wow. I had not heard of that.
Not good.
Wow.
Grab bag. Grab bag.
So this is kind of a scary news update here. So we knew Javon Baker popped up on the injury report last week with a concussion. And we're like, what's going on? That's all we saw.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't play in the game. What's going on? We found out today, car accident.
Huh.
He was in a car accident. And I guess he told reporters, including I think it was Doug Kye that I saw the tweet from, that he was like blessed to only walk away with a concussion. So I don't know. There's your update on Javon Baker.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say much about. I mean, you hope he's okay.
I don't know what happened.
It's very fortunate that he's okay. It sounded like a terrible car accident. It is another thing to add on to the list with him. You don't even know that he's at fault, but it's been a real wild rookie year for that guy.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach.
Grab bag.
How about the Ivy League? After all these years, Ivy League football will be allowed to participate in the FCS playoffs starting next year. So for years, FCS, like your 1AA, like UNH
they were never
in
allowed,
Rhode Island.
Huh?
No.
Because I've told you this before.
They'd be like ranked. You'd be like, oh, Harvard's really good this year, but Harvard wouldn't go play.
Fitzpatrick was at Harvard when I was in college doing Northeastern football games. They still had Northeastern football. Brad.
Yeah.
And
that's nice.
And I
have a squad.
I didn't realize they didn't go to the tournament. I didn't realize that.
So it's similar to the NESCAC? Whatever. What was the league that Tufson that Andy Hart played in? Like Bates, Bowdoin.
NESCAC.
Is it NESCAC?
I don't know.
I feel like that might be my high school.
Hockamock.
They're in the Hockamock. Yeah. The Hockamock is a wagon.
Yeah.
So no, they think they're the Little Ivy. Right? Hart will come in all hot about this
today.
They
think they're
It's like Williams,
Ivy,
Amherst, Trinity, Bates, Bowdoin,
Tufts.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
But
if you ever talk to somebody from Williams or...
How do you know? Oh, because they told you about it the first 2 minutes. No, but that group, they only play each other. So it's hard to know how good they are. And like every once in a while, like D3 football will like rank all the teams and maybe one of them goes undefeated and they're like, yeah, I guess they're good. But they weren't participating in the tournament. Right. And maybe that's changed. I don't know. But for years and years and years, they wouldn't even be in it.
I didn't realize those Ivy schools couldn't compete. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Grab bag.
Falcons have placed Younghoe Koo on IR and signed kicker Riley Patterson off of the Browns. So new kicker to go with Michael Penix.
Wow.
Yeah, how do you like that?
Times are changing.
You could say that again.
I said times are changing.
Do I make you
grab bag?
I think that needs a baby on the end.
There might be something there. Yeah. There might be something else.
Yeah.
Michael Vick is going to be the head coach of Norfolk State. Going to a little college football action.
See, there's a little spat between
Schefter
and Gottlieb over this story.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Gottlieb was like, come on, Schefter, you just work for the agents. And Schefter was like, come on, Doug, you're 0-5 in the Horizon League or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he kind of owned him.
Called him out for
that,
huh?
Good for Schefter, by the way, is going to be on WEEI afternoon. So
yes. All right.
Grandma got run over by a
grab bag. So best NBA performance from last night.
Has to be.
Jones. Oh, you know what? Let me update this. I thought I had it. I don't. It was from the NBA.
It's only one game.
It was from the NBA Cup.
The Bucks won.
It was from the NBA. I don't have it. It's not on the regular scoreboard. Oh, no, here it is.
Giannis had a triple-double.
Here it is. Yes. Let me get. Let's start this one over. Let me give you one more. I wasn't prepared.
It's beginning to look a lot like
grab bag.
Okay,
this is yelling at us.
Little tail. Yes, NBA Cup action. Jones, Giannis, 26, 19, and 10. Damian Lillard had 23. In a losing effort, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 21. And Isaiah Hartenstein had 16 and 12.
Oh, he was grabbing boards last night.
Who are you going with?
I went Giannis.
Giannis, yeah. Probably Giannis as well. I would agree. He had a pretty good game.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, let's get it. We have a shortstop today to talk about. Random baseball player. Played for three teams in his illustrious career. The Oakland A's, Pittsburgh Pirates, and Arizona Diamondbacks.
In that order?
Mark Ellis.
Nope, great guess. He may have overlapped with Mark Ellis at one point.
One more time, the teams?
Oakland A's, Pittsburgh Pirates, Arizona Diamondbacks. Played for the Snakes. Really, an Oakland A.
Well, I was about to say Jay Bell. That's wrong. Pirates and Snakes is what I was thinking. And was he a second baseman? He was
shortstop.
More second baseman. Yeah,
shortstop.
No, I'm saying Jay Bell was more second
Jay
baseman.
Oh, Jay Bell. No, Jay Bell played some
short.
Jay Bell was nice.
Okay.
Good Snakes years.
Yeah, I feel like I've guessed him a handful of times.
He had like a 40-dong season, didn't he? Or close to it?
Oh, I don't know. Did he?
Jay Bell might have.
Okay.
He also played with glasses, I believe, at one point
that
in his career.
That's right. That does
He's on the Pirates. He played from 2003 to 2010. Kind of short and sweet.
Wow, that is a short career.
And he barely played in 03. He was actually, he broke into the major. His rookie season was 2004. Where he was the rookie of the year.
Huh.
What team?
Oakland A's. Athletics.
Bobby Crosby.
Nice.
He got it.
There it is.
Bobby Crosby. Rookie of the year, and then really downhill after that.
Couldn't get past Nick Ahmed.
Beat me to that?
I
think that
Nick Ahmed, good guess.
I'm looking now. I think the Twitch chat did beat me
People
to that.
People are getting Crosby. Yeah, we're getting some Crosby.
I see it on the text line as well.
You're thinking of Bing Crosby, his grandfather.
I did not steal it, but I'll acknowledge I was not first to it. But yes, Bobby Crosby in fantasy that year, Keith.
Yeah, how'd he do?
I had
Bobby Crosby,
Crosby and Jason Bay. I believe I had both rookie of the years that year.
22 Long Johnsons that year would not hit you a high average.
No.
But the A's didn't care about that.
Nope.
The A's just want you to get on base.
Nope.
Grab a walk.
The original baseball ruiners, the Oakland A's, kind of like the three-point line now.
Jokes on them, though. Yep.
Ignore all of the Cy Young winners and the MVP on their team, and then they only won because guys got on base.
Guys, they had Scott Hatterberg that year, and they got him to play first base. All right. That's why Moneyball worked.
Yep.
A young Chris
I pay
Pratt.
To get on first, not get thrown out at second.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's it.
Okay. Have a holly jolly grab bag.
That'll do it.
Okay. That's how you do grab bag each and every day, your random baseball player of the day. We'll check in with WEEI Afternoons. I know they're busy. They got Shefty. They got Scal, and we have the clip du jour next.
All right, time now for the clip du jour here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones, you ready for that?
Oh, it sounds nice. What's the clip du jour?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the clip of the day, and today it is our 60-second plans to fix the New England Patriots. Jones going first on this one? All right, I go first. All right, so it's first going to be my plan right into Jones's plan, and then you can decide who had the better plan. All right, here we go. This time I'm going to fix the Patriots. First thing I do is I apologize to the fans. I say, fans, we are sorry that you've had to watch this product for the last 5 years. Next thing I do, I offer Gerard Mayo a very nice severance package. I say, you're done. We made a huge mistake. You are relieved of your duties. I hire Ben Johnson. How do I do that? I spend a ton of money on Ben Johnson. So he is now my head coach and my de facto offensive coordinator. With the third pick in the draft, I'm taking Travis Hunter. This team needs star power, Jones. You get it with a Heisman Trophy winner who plays both sides of the ball. You put him as your number two wide receiver because I'm throwing the bag at T. Higgins. I'm also going to trade back into the first round and draft the BHA. Best hoss available. Whoever that is, I'm grabbing him, throwing him on my offensive line. So I'm going to have two first-round picks, Travis Hunter, best hoss available. I'm signing T. Higgins. I'm letting Ben Johnson run the team. Keep Van Pelt if you want. Ben Johnson can hire any defensive coordinator he wants. I'm getting rid of Covington as well.
Okay, here's my plan to fix the Patriots in a minute. I'm starting by firing Gerard Mayo the day after the season ends. I don't think you're getting Ben Johnson. So I'm going to pass on Mike Vrabel. I'm going to pass on Brian Flores. I am hiring Liam Cohen. Bucks offensive coordinator is my head coach. He's going to call his own plays. Elliot Wolf, you done, son. I hire Ray Agnew, Lions assistant GM, as my GM. They drafted very, very well over the last few years. Like Keith, I'm firing DeMarcus Covington. I am hiring Jim Leonard, Broncos secondary coach, as defensive coordinator. I love how the Broncos play defense. Here's what I'm doing for the roster. I'm trading a second-round pick for DK Metcalf. I'm trading down in the first round. I'm getting draft assets. I'm drafting my favorite wide receiver, Luther Burden, out of Missouri. I move back into the first round and take an offensive tackle, also known as best hoss available. I'm going to actually burn some cash. I'm going to sign left tackle Ronnie Stanley from the Ravens. I'm going to sign quarterback DJ Reed from the Jets. Linebacker Nick Bolton from the Chiefs. I'm trading Kyle Duggar for a seventh rounder, a best offer. I'm going to cut Vidarian Lowe. I'm firing Jalen Polk into the sun. I'm switching back to Pat Patriot uniforms. I'm never showing Robert and Jonathan on TV. Burning down the lighthouse. Wow.
By the Came in real, like literally hot at the end.
By the way, that was lighthouse. That sounds kind of like White House when you hear it.
Jones on a list.
I'm burning
Somebody
down the
keep
lighthouse.
Keep your eyes on Jones.
Is what I'm doing.
That's pretty good, though. A couple of good plans.
Burning down the lighthouse. Wow. Lighthouse.
Jones is winning. I think because he swayed people at the end with those things.
You think that's what it was?
I think it was.
Red meat to the base is what I called that. Yeah,
No crafts on TV, I think, swung a lot of people.
55% say Jones, 54, I'll say. 46% say Keith. So it was a dead heat.
Sorry, it's close. Wiggy also called in with his.
Oh, yeah.
It was fantastic.
Twitch chat, by the way, points out dark and stormy nights. Jones's plan does not come with an apology to the fans. That was a good move by you.
I tried to, like.
That was a good start.
Yeah.
It was a good start there. Now, I'm being told, as we get to the crossover here with WEEI Afternoons, it's brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. Give the perfect gift this year, 99 Restaurant gift cards. They're the perfect gift for everyone on your list. For every $25 you purchase, receive a $5 bonus card for yourself. You guys had Andy Hart on the clock yesterday?
I didn't realize this. We didn't mean to snake an idea.
60
we had
seconds
Christian Arcand on the clock yesterday.
Oh, Arcand was
on
the clock.
I put him on the clock.
Oh, you put him on the clock.
60-second segment. That was the first of, we thought, many until some other show.
Stole it.
Stole it.
Interesting.
Jack Wagons.
So it was a plan?
Oh, it was, no, it was,
a quiz.
It was a, basically an evaluation
like a
of
win,
the talent.
It was like
of
a win Ben Stein's money situation.
It was, if the NFL had an expansion draft and the Patriots had to protect 10 players, I want your list right now.
Oh, and you made him go quick.
He was not aware of it going this way.
I didn't know what it would be.
And
I could not come up with 10. I only came up with 6.
No, 10's too many.
He got 10 players. 6, and even that was a stretch.
Yeah. It's 2.
It's like in fantasy football when you can keep like 5. Like,
I could have stopped at 2 if we were being honest, but for the purpose of the segment, I didn't want to have 50.
People including like Antonio Gibson, and it's like,
no,
wait,
you can throw him
keeper
back.
Keeper list?
Yeah.
Journeyman, one-year running back.
Protect
backup.
Him. Teams are going to want a fourth running
well,
back.
Well, it was a good idea. We stole it.
Yeah. You did.
What are you going to do?
Appreciate
you. It's a winner. You know, yeah, you
next, maybe next week we steal Ross Tucker from you. Unlikely.
Is that? No.
Is he we want him. He's an elite analyst.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's got the Patriots this weekend.
He's a beer drinker. He likes food.
No, he has a Chargers game.
Short ties. Oh, I'm sorry, 2 weeks
and
from
we,
now. You're right.
Asked Saturday, him about, yeah. We asked him about the tie. He said he doesn't like it when the tie pokes out through the bottom of the coat, so he tied it real short, and then he had to do a stand-up, and he didn't realize, and he had a short tie. I told him he should do that for the rest of the season.
That's
every
your look.
Time he's
That's
on
your
TV, that should be his
like
thing.
Like when Merrill Hodge just has the thick knot.
Yeah, the exact same thing.
There's an enormous knot on his tie.
That's your thing.
But the most interesting part was he is an NFL offensive lineman at 6'5".
Yeah,
6'4",
6'5".
He has a 32-inch inseam, which is basically what I wear, like, he apparently has a freakish body that is all torso and no legs.
Really?
And he has really short arms.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a T-Rex. Like
basically, yeah, that's what I said. He didn't care for it.
He's like, Kelly Olynyk. Same thing with Kelly Olynyk coming out.
He's like, stop calling me T-Rex, guys.
Yeah, he didn't care for it. So he...
Weird. He's got a weird body.
Yeah, very,
very
weird body.
Very, very weird
he
body.
He thinks he's the best ever to play in the NFL with that type
with
of
that
with
body.
With those dimensions? Probably the only one.
That's how you got to do it.
Hard to argue it.
Yeah, that is hard to argue it.
Was there a body-shaming wing of the Hall of Fame he could be in, maybe?
Absolutely.
Freaks.
What's your inseam? Okay, so you got Schefter and Scal on the program today?
Yes, Schefter and Scal back-to-back, 3:45 and 4 o'clock. We'll talk to Scal about fixing the NBA and, of course, Schefter about what it was like to backwards windmill dunk on Doug Gottlieb this week. We'll get that, too.
That was...
Yeah
he wasn't you hadn't seen it. That. He was not having any of it.
Tremendous.
It was well done.
It was. Okay, that's coming up today. WEEI Afternoons, that's the name of the show, Drake May. WEEI Afternoons. You got Arcan, you got Hart. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. It's a Bruins Thursday, which means we have the Razor. That's tomorrow.